All right, get ready, because today we're going to dive into some seriously mind-bending stuff. We're talking quantum mechanics, specifically something called Bell's theorem.
Yeah, this is one of those things that really makes you question what we think we know about reality.
It kind of throws a wrench into our everyday understanding of how things work. And trust me, it's going to get pretty weird.
It definitely challenges some fundamental assumptions.
We're mainly using Bell's Theorem with Easy Math by David R. Schneider for this deep dive. But don't worry.
Yeah, we'll keep the math digestible.
We'll make sure it doesn't get overwhelming.
The core concepts are surprisingly approachable.
So, to kind of set the stage, let's start with something we all experience. Those polarized sunglasses you wear on a sunny day.
Right.
You know how they block out that annoying glare? It's because they only let light waves vibrating in a specific direction pass through.
Exactly. It's kind of like if you had a window with really narrow slats.
Okay.
And you're trying to toss a frisbee through it.
I like that visual.
It'll only go through if you throw it just right upright.
Exactly. Now imagine those light waves are made up of tiny particles called photons. Each of these photons can also be polarized, meaning its electric field is only vibrating in one direction. And here's where it gets interesting. Even Albert Einstein back in the day was a bit skeptical about some of the predictions of quantum mechanics.
Yeah, he wasn't entirely on board.
Especially when it came to these polarized photons.
Yeah, he felt there had to be a simpler explanation for how particles behave. Something more concrete than this sort of probabilistic nature that quantum mechanics was suggesting.
So is he picturing, like, tiny gears and levers controlling these photos?
Not quite gears and levers, but his idea was that particles have some inherent properties.
Okay.
Some kind of hidden instructions that we just hadn't figured out how to measure yet.
Okay.
These hidden variables, as they were called, would then predetermine things, like a photon's polarization at any angle.
So he was thinking these properties are always there, like pre-programmed settings, even if we're not looking at them.
Precisely. He, along with Podolsky and Rosen, called these elements of reality.
Okay.
So their argument was that if you can predict something with 100% certainty without disturbing the system, then that something must correspond to an element of reality.
So, like, the moon is still there even if I'm not looking at it?
Exactly.
So its position is an element of reality.
Precisely.
But what does this have to do with our polarized photons?
So they applied this same thinking to the quantum world.
Okay.
Their belief was that a photon knows whether it would pass through a polarizer at any angle.
Okay.
Even before we test it.
Oh, wow.
It's like it's already made up its mind.
So if we could somehow peek at those hidden variables, we'd know the photon's polarization at any angle.
Exactly.
But how do we test for something that's hidden? That's where Bell's thought experiment comes in.
Right.
And that is what we're going to unravel in part two of this deep dive. Okay, so we've got these hidden variables, maybe controlling things behind the scenes, determining how our photons behave. But how do we even start to design an experiment to test for them? It's not like we can just ask the photon to spill the beans.
You're right. It's tricky. But this is where physicist John Bell came in. He had this really ingenious thought experiment.
Okay.
It was impossible to actually carry out with the technology back then, but it illustrated the core concept so well.
I'm intrigued. Lay it on me. What was Bell's big idea?
So imagine we have a single photon, and we want to know its polarization at three different angles. 0 degrees, 120 degrees, and 240 degrees.
Okay.
Think of it like those polarizing filters, each one rotated to those specific angles.
Got it. So, like, we're testing the same photon with three different filters.
Exactly. Now, let's just assume, like Einstein did, that these hidden variables exist.
Okay.
So our photon already has an answer ready for the question, will it pass through the filter for each of those three angles?
So it's like our photon has a cheat sheet with a yes or no for each angle.
Precisely. Now, Bell said, let's think about all the possible combinations of yes and no for these three angles, like we're trying to come up with all the possible cheat sheets our photon could have.
So we're looking at every possible way those yeses and nos could be arranged on the photon's cheat sheet.
Yes. And it turns out there are eight possible combinations.
Okay.
Like a table with eight rows, each row being a different possible cheat sheet.
Okay, I'm picturing it. We've got our eight rows, each with a different combo of yes and no for those angles. What do we do with this table? This is where I usually start looking for a whiteboard.
The really elegant thing about Bell's logic is that it doesn't need complex calculations. We can uncover something profound just by looking at these combinations. Here's the key takeaway. No matter what those hidden variables are, whether the photon has a yes or no for each angle on its cheat sheet. The probability of getting matching polarizations when we look at two of those angles should be at least 13. This is Bell's inequality.
Hold on, I'm trying to get this straight. How did we get to that 13 probability just from these combinations?
Okay, let's break it down. We've got three pairs of angles we can compare. 0 and 120 degrees, 120 and 240 degrees, and 0 and 240 degrees.
Right.
Now, if you go through all eight possible combinations in our table, you'll notice something interesting.
Okay.
For most of those combinations, two out of those three pairs will have matching polarizations.
Okay.
Either both angles will be a yes, or both will be a no.
So even if the photon just has a random cheat sheet, like yes, no, yes, we'd still expect at least one pair of angles to match.
Exactly. It's like when you flip a coin twice, even if you get heads the first time, you've still got a 50-50 chance of getting heads again.
Right.
Those odds work in a similar way here with the photon polarizations.
I think I'm starting to see it. So Bell's inequality is basically saying if hidden variables are really the thing, then we should see matching polarizations at least a third of the time when we measure at these specific angles.
Exactly.
It all comes down to assuming those hidden instructions actually exist.
Precisely. It gives us a clear benchmark to test. And here's where it gets really interesting because, as you might have guessed, quantum mechanics has a different idea about this.
Okay, so we've got this benchmark from Bell's inequality. If those hidden variables are running the show, we should see matching polarizations at least a third of the time. But you're saying quantum mechanics has other plans. I have a feeling we're about to enter a whole new level of weird.
Oh, quantum mechanics loves to shake things up.
Yeah.
It actually predicts a different probability altogether for those matching polarizations. Closer to 14, not 13.
Wait, seriously, I know it might not sound like a huge difference, but in the world of physics, that's a big deal, right?
It's a really big deal. It's like saying we thought gravity pulled everything down, but oops, sometimes it pushes things sideways.
Mm.
And what makes it even more wild is that this 14 probability comes directly from how quantum mechanics describes entangled particles.
Okay, entangled particles, those always sounded like something straight out of Star Trek to me. Remind me what's so special about them.
Imagine you and I each have these special gloves. And these gloves, they're linked in some bizarre way.
Oh?
If I look at my glove and see it's become right-handed, you instantly know yours has become left-handed. No matter how far apart we are, it's like spooky action at a distance.
Okay.
That's kind of what entanglement is like. But instead of gloves, it's particles, our photons.
So their properties are connected even across huge distances.
Exactly. Their fates are intertwined even if they're miles apart.
That's mind-blowing. So how do we use these entangled particles to test Bell's inequality?
Well, we can do measurements on these entangled particles, similar to how we were imagining testing that single photon at different angles. But there's a catch. We got to make sure that the measurement we make on one particle doesn't affect the measurement on the other. They got to be totally independent events.
Right. We don't want one measurement like sending a secret message to the other particle faster than the speed of light and messing up our experiment.
Exactly. That's where Bell locality comes in. It's this assumption that there's no faster than light communication happening between those entangled particles. They should act independently, even though they're linked in this strange way.
Okay, so it's like making sure our glove measurements are totally legit, no sneaky signals or anything. This is intense. So the big question is, when they actually did these experiments with entangled particles, what did they find? Were those photon polarizations matching up closer to 13, like hidden variables predicted, or 14, like quantum mechanics says?
The results were in, and let's just say they caused quite a stir in the physics world.
I bet.
Experiment after experiment. Each one, more precise, has shown that quantum mechanics is right.
Wow.
That probability of the entangled photon polarizations matching.
Mm.
Stubbornly closer to 14, just like quantum mechanics predicted.
So does this mean Einstein was wrong about everything? Does this mean, like, our everyday understanding of reality is totally off?
It's not that simple.
Yeah.
Really, Einstein was brilliant. He was working with the best knowledge they had back then. And those thought experiments were groundbreaking. What Bell's theorem and these experiments tell us is more like our everyday intuition about reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that things have definite properties, even when we're not looking, it kind of breaks down at the quantum level.
So is the moon just not there when we're not looking at it?
The moon is a whole different story. It follows the rules of classical physics. It's a macroscopic object. So it doesn't quite work the same way as our entangled photons. But what Bell's theorem shows us is that at the quantum level, the very act of observation seems to play a part in shaping the reality we observe.
Wow, that is seriously mind-blowing. It's like the universe is playing hide-and-seek with us.
You could say that. Bell's theorem has opened up this incredible Pandora's box of questions about the nature of reality, what it even means to observe something.
It's a lot to wrap your head around, so where do we go from here? If our everyday intuition doesn't work in the quantum world, what can we even use to understand it?
That's the million-dollar question. It's what physicists are trying to figure out. Even today, Bell's theorem didn't just give us answers, it opened up a whole new set of questions. Some physicists think it points to a universe that's way more interconnected than we ever thought. Others are coming up with entirely new ways to think about quantum mechanics itself.
So even though we don't have all the answers yet, just thinking about these mind-blowing ideas is crucial if we want to understand the universe, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bell's theorem showed us the universe is far stranger and more amazing than we imagined, and it's our job to keep asking those big questions.
Well, this deep dive has given me a lot to think about, for sure.
Me too. It reminds us that trying to understand the universe is a journey. And sometimes the most amazing discoveries come from questioning the things we think we know.
That's a great point to wrap up on. If you enjoyed this mind-bending exploration of Bell's theorem, we encourage you to check out the source material, Bell's Theorem with Easy Math, by David R. Schneider. There's a whole universe of fascinating stuff out there waiting to be discovered.